This is New England Public Radio. I'm Carrie Healy. A Northampton, Massachusetts resident recently published a thick history of a small river that winds down from the hill towns of Hampshire County. Over the centuries, the Mill River has shaped the landscape and defined where people live. New England Public Radio's Nancy Cohen reports.
In Florence, Massachusetts, patrons of Yup Coffee get a dose of the sound of the Mill River along with their morning joe. Michelle Marroquin from East Hampton is drawn here.
It inspires connection to an environment, to a space, to the place, to a place, I guess.
And yet she isn't sure which river this is.
Don't ask me. I don't know what it's called even. What's it called, the Mill River?
It doesn't help this Mill River's name recognition that there are lots of Mill Rivers throughout New England, and even within 10 miles of here, says environmental historian John Sinton.
There's one up in Whately, North Hatfield. There is one over in Sunderland. There's one in North Amherst.
Sinton, who's 80, says this river takes him back to a river from his childhood in California. He would ride on his father's shoulders as they floated downstream.
I love to see it when it's quiet. I love to see it when it's loud and noisy. Every place I go on this river has a story to tell.
On a road trip along the river, Sinton shared some of those stories with me.
This is literally the end of the road.
This is only the end of the road when the river is flooded.
On this spring day, it is flooded, cutting Old Springfield Road in half. Here, near the border of Northampton and East Hampton, the Connecticut River is off to the right.
The mouth of the Mill River is right here, running into the Oxbow.
This is where the river spits out everything it has carried, about 20 miles downstream from its source in the hills of Goshen.
Rivers actually create the landscape. They create the valleys. They push water and sediment downstream, depositing it on the flatlands where people live.
And that has shaped human communities here going back centuries. Not far from the Oxbow, we come to an intersection of three roads in Northampton where the Nonotuc Indians once planted corn, beans, and squash together in mounds. A photograph taken right here in 1920 still showed them.
They had these semi-permanent or permanent corn hills that lasted for decades, maybe even centuries, were planted over and over again.
The corn hills, which are no longer visible, were planted in a meadow, part of the Mill River's floodplain, where the river deposited rich soil. Nearby, a Nonotuc settlement on Fort Hill was hugged by the Mill River on three sides. About a mile upstream, along the banks of Paradise Pond at Smith College, trees are blooming, swallows swoop over the water. At one time, this pond wasn't so pastoral, says Sinton.
This pond that's very nostalgic for everybody who lives around here, Paradise Pond, this nostalgic, this wonderful, this rural place, is in fact the industrial center of the city of Northampton.
In a spot where water once cascaded over rocks, a dam was built here in 1666. Early on, it powered a grist mill. Later, in 1866, a four-story factory that made farm tools.
Hoes and rakes and scythes. It was very loud. It was as loud as the dam was. With pounding hammers, it produced some of the most wonderful products that the town of Northampton ever produced.
The water that powered these early mills flowed down to Northampton from Williamsburg. The mills there and in Haydenville, Leeds, and Florence multiplied in the 1700s and 1800s. They made brass, buttons, and brushes, wool cloth, and silk thread. But one day, the mills as far downstream as Leeds were silenced.
All of a sudden, in 1874, on that day in May, when the dam burst and 600 million gallons of water poured out of this steep valley here.
In Williamsburg, the dam disaster was at that point, Sinton writes in his book, America's deadliest industrial accident. On the east branch of the Mill River, a big earthen dam gave way. It had been overfilled on purpose to make sure the mills would have enough water in the drier season. Melting spring snow added to the high levels. Sinton says the sound of the flood was thunderous.
Had you been here, you would have been swept away in a 30-foot wave of water downstream. It was trees and houses and animals and carcasses. It was everything all churned up in a huge mass. It was like the end of the world.
Men galloped on horseback ahead of the flood, warning mill workers and residents. But 139 people died, 50 in Leeds alone, many of them women and children who worked and lived at the mills. Much of the debris landed miles away from the dam in the meadows in Florence. A year later, the state of Massachusetts passed its first dam safety regulations.
This dam disaster really spelled the end, the doom of several of the mills downstream, and totally wiped out one small village. It never returned.
That was the village of Skinnerville. There were other disasters, natural ones, like the floods of 1927 and 1936, which turned Northampton streets into rivers. The U.S. Army Corps of Engineers then diverted the river, moving it away from downtown to prevent flooding. Sinton says people have often turned their backs on rivers.
Why? Because they're industrial. They powered things, and they were not pretty. They were only pretty when the industries died, and even then, it takes a lot of work to resuscitate them.
Sinton and other volunteers are breathing new life into the Mill River by building access to it through a greenway of trails and bike paths, like here on a trail just below the dam disaster site. Sinton stoops down, reaches into the water, and turns over a fist-sized rock.
Here. You see? Take a look at that. This is a little mayfly nymph.
Sinton wants kids, the future river keepers, to have the same kind of river joy he had as a child. For New England Public Radio, I'm Nancy Cohen.